Who do you think you are? You ever heard anybody say that? Who do you think you are? How many of you know it matters who you think you are? Who do you think you are? We usually say that in some sort of a sarcastic way. But who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Because who you think you are has a lot to do with who you are. And we've been talking about God's power to change our life and how that God wants to change our life. And that change in our life has a lot to do with what we think. How many of you know there is nothing that's in this 5:11 right here that God did not create? He created it all. And the scripture says in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 30, that we're to love and serve the Lord our God with all of it, right? With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Everybody say mind. And with all of our strength. And if we're not serving God with all of that, then how many of you not know we're not living up to the potential that we have as sons and daughters of the King? And so God has called us to be people that understand truth. The Bible says to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. You ever been ignorant of something? I don't know if I told you this. One day I got pulled over by a police officer and I was ignorant of why he was pulling me over. I didn't know. I just knew there was blue lights back there. I was ignorant of the fact that my tags had expired. But how many of you know that that ignorance didn't abdicate the punishment? I still was responsible. I still got pulled over because I was what? Breaking the law. How many of you know that we can be ignorant of truth and we can be ignorant of some of the things that the enemy is doing in our lives, but it still doesn't make us abdicate from what's taking place. We're still responsible and we are still experiencing the consequences. So the more we know the truth of God's word and the more enlightened we become to God's truth, how many of you know those things in our life will begin to change? And so, Jerry, we're going to be talking today. I was here a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully you have your notes here. I'm going to be talking to you today for a few more minutes on God's prescription to change our life. And he does that by changing our mind. And the title of today's message is Think on These Things. How many of you know it's important what you think about? It's important what you think about. If you don't think so, then I'm going to try to convince you so this morning. We're to serve and love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we got to get all of those things lined up so that we're not ignorant of what it is that God's called us to do. I want to make mention of something that Jerry Kirksey mentioned just a moment ago when he was announcing freedom. We had a men's breakfast yesterday morning. And at that men's breakfast, we had a guest speaker there, a local pastor in town. And Jerry referenced something. He said, man, it was so powerful. He didn't talk very long, but it was so powerful. But he was talking about the difference between deliverance and freedom. And, you know, when you look back at the Old Testament, you ever read the Old Testament? Anybody ever read the Old Testament? There's some of it's just hard to read. But if you read kind of in general the Old Testament, the story of God's people, what is the story of God's people in the Old Testament? It's like, you know, it's like, duh, you know, why are you doing that again? Don't you know you're going to be in bondage and be carried away and you and your children? And then they cried out to the Lord and the Lord, what did he do to them? He would deliver them. And then they would get back into bondage again. And then they would cry out to the Lord and the Lord would deliver them. And then remember, eventually the children of Israel were taken to Egypt and they became slaves, and they were slaves in Egypt for 500 years until the Lord sent them Moses, who was the what? Deliverer. And Moses went and the 10 plagues and all of that, but eventually he led the children of Israel out of Egypt across the Red Sea. And what did God do? God delivered them out of Egypt on the way to what? The promised land. How many of you excited about the promised land that God has for you? See, deliverance really is symbolic of salvation in our life. God delivered them out of Egypt. The blood was applied over the doorpost and the lintels, and God delivered them from death and out of the hand of the oppressor, out of the hand of, out of the location of Egypt. Now, getting them out of Egypt was one thing. The scripture says that when we receive Christ, the Bible says, and we make him the Lord of our life, that he transfers or relocates us out of the kingdom of darkness and into a new kingdom, the kingdom of light. So there is a transfer of citizenship. There is a transfer of location. Everybody follow what I'm saying? So the people of Israel, all 3 million plus of them, changed locations. They were delivered out of Egypt on the way to the promised land. They crossed the Red Sea. They made it into the wilderness. And depending on who you hear, that journey from Egypt to the promised land was supposed to be anywhere from 3 to 11 days of hiking to get to the promised land. But it turned into what? 40 years, because although they had been delivered out of Egypt, they didn't have Egypt delivered out of them. So they changed locations, but they still had Egypt in them. Do you remember it wasn't a couple of days later and they were saying, oh, remember how good we had it back there? Remember all the leeks and the onions and all the meat we had to eat and all that? Which was a bunch of lies anyway. The enemy was deceiving them. But what happened was God had delivered them, but they weren't free. How many of you know we can be saved? We can be transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and be in the kingdom of light. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. But how many of you know that when you got saved, your spirit was reborn, but you are spirit, soul, and body. Your wardrobe didn't change when you came home from the altar. The same clothes were in your closet that were there when you went to church, right? The same mortgage you had was still there, right? The same spouse you had went home with you right there. Nothing else in your life changed but your spirit. And you were relocated out of one location, the kingdom of darkness, and you were relocated into the kingdom of light. And how many of you know that's a tremendous move? I'm glad that I've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. But when I left the kingdom of darkness, like the children of Israel left the kingdom of Egypt, how many of you know that not all the kingdom of Egypt left them? When we left darkness, not all the darkness that was in us left us. That is the journey of God's power to change our life. See, we were redeemed, we were saved. That's redemption. Everybody say redemption. The blood paid the price that I could be delivered from darkness. But the blood also paid the price so that I could be sanctified. That is a continual journey of being transformed from what I used to look like into the image of Jesus Christ. See, when God did not take the children of Israel directly from Egypt into the promised land. There was a journey that they had to walk, a journey of trust, a journey of faith, a journey of surrender, a journey of allowing God to lead their lives. And it's the same journey that we're on. Lest we get down on the children of Israel and think that they are silly and that they are crazy and they keep doing the same things over and over again and they allow the same bondages to slip up on them. How about us? Seriously. What he said yesterday was, he said, deliverance is good, but it's not God's best. See, deliverance is a change of location, but you're only one day removed from the bondage that you were in. Until the bondage is taken out of us, just taking us out of the bondage is not going to get it done. Until the inside is changed, how many of you know things out here are not going to change? Have you ever had things in your life that God delivered you from by His grace and by His mercy and by His power, and you found yourself under those things again and again? It's because Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, and I, what, thought as a child. But when I became a full-grown man, what'd he say? I put away childish things, talking like a child, having the understanding of a child, and thinking like a child. What he was basically saying was, it is a journey of spiritual maturity where I begin to know the truth of God's word, and I allow the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's word to begin to penetrate me on the inside and find the dark places, the bound up places, the broken places of my life. And as the truth finds those things, then I'm not just delivered, but I begin to be set free. And when I am set free, then things change. No longer am I fighting, falling back into bondage. Now I am fighting against that bondage in other people's lives. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So God has called us to be a people that understand, to grow, to mature in the things of God, not to come to church week after week, not to have our Bible reading time, to check it off of a checklist every day and have our little prayer time and never see change in our life. We're putting away the way we used to talk and the way we used to understand the world and think about things and the way we thought about others and the way we think about God. We're putting away the way we used to think about things because we're growing in Christ. We are growing up in Christ. My life should not look today the same way it looked a year ago if I'm a child of God. There is resurrection power resident on the inside of us. And that power is great enough to break every chain in my life, to heal every broken place in my life. I just have to be willing to partner with God. See, he said this yesterday. Deliverance is something that God does for us. Freedom is something that we do in partnership with God. See, God got them out of Egypt. All they had to do was follow Moses, right? But then they got in the wilderness, and then God began to give them what? Responsibility to partner with him. Then they became responsible to do things he asked them to do. Then they began to have to shoulder some of the load. How many of you know that's the way God works? Did God say, draw nigh to me and then I will draw nigh to you? Is that what he said? Why didn't he just draw nigh to us? Because he's chosen. And I've told you this before. If you go play baseball, which I'm way too old for that now, but remember when, or your kids, if they go to play baseball, when they hit the ball, they don't get to run to third base first. There's a reason why it's called first base and not third base, right? Whoever designed the game design the rules, and you have to abide by the rules if you want to make a home run, if you want to score. And it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. God laid out the rules for the kingdom of God. And if we want to hit a home run, if we want to score, if we want things to change in our life, if we want to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, then we got to play by the rules. What does that mean? It means walk in the light as he is in the light. It means walk in the truth. And when we know the truth, then we can walk in the truth. So God has called us to be a people that don't remain in bondage. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He delivered him out of the tomb, right? He said, come out of the tomb. But then what happened? Was he still bound? Was he alive but bound? Some of us in this place are alive but bound. We're bound by depression. We're believers. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but we're not living the fullness of the God life because we're bound. And we have wrong ways of thinking and wrong ways of understanding. And the Bible says Jesus then said, loose him of his grave clothes and let him go. Some of us have got to be loosed from some things in our life so that we can kick up our heels and go do what God has called us to do. You can be alive but bound. Jesus didn't die just for us to be saved. He died so that we could be free. Everybody say free. He died so that we could be free. And so I've only got a few minutes this morning to share with you a little bit about how that freedom comes about. But one of the primary ways that God brings about freedom in our life, let me back up. If we're going to get free and if we're going to be changed, we got to do it by traveling the path that God has laid out for us. Look, deliverance would be this. You got an anger problem? At the end of the service today, we're going to have the prayer team up front. You come up front and hands are going to be laid on you. And after you get prayed for, you leave here today and you'll never be angry again. Wouldn't that be fantastic? You went from angry to sweet, syrupy like jelly. How many of you know that's generally not the way it works? God can do anything he wants to, but he's bound by his word. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, what the scripture says, do not be conformed to this world. This world works hard to make us look like them. Dress like them, think like them, talk like them, walk like them, prioritize like they do. Do you know what I'm saying? They work hard. But the scripture says, don't be conformed. He was writing to believers. In Rome, he said, don't be conformed to the world. Can believers be conformed to the world? You ever been around somebody and something happened and you had two people respond the very same way and you didn't know, oh, this is Pastor so-and-so. Hopefully it wasn't me, right? You got a believer and an unbeliever and they respond just the same way. There's no difference. Why? Because that Christian's life has been conformed to the world in an attitude or in word or in deed in some way, passions and pursuits. They're pursuing the same thing. But Paul said, don't be conformed to the world. So you can be a believer and be conformed to the ways of the world. You have to fight against it. But be ye what? Transformed. Transformed just sounds better than conformed, doesn't it? How many of you want to be transformed? He is the potter and we are the clay. When we are taken out of darkness and we're in light. The potter takes us and he puts us, this old mess of clay, on his wheel, and he begins to work on us. Anybody felt the fingers of God involved in your life? Anybody felt the hand of God moving in your life? Anybody felt the tools of God digging things out of your life, pinpointing things? He's working on our lives. That's called transformation. And God wants us to be changed, the scripture says, not into a better Stephen, but God says he wants our lives to replicate the image of his firstborn son, Jesus Christ. So the whole journey from Egypt to the promised land is about transformation. It's not thinking like Egypt no more, not talking like Egypt no more, not doing life like we did in Egypt anymore, but it's thinking like God. It's acting like God. It's speaking like God. It's trusting him that when I get up in the morning, that it's not my own hand that provides for me, but I'm learning that the manna has to come from heaven. And if God doesn't provide for me, there is no provision. But if I will trust him and I will obey him, he is always faithful to do what he said he would do. And it's transforming me into a person who understands how to walk by faith and not by sight. It's transformation. It's going from the Egypt mindset to the promised land mindset. It's going from the kingdom of darkness mindset and lifestyle to the kingdom of God lifestyle. And it's not fruity and it's not weird. And it doesn't mean you're dancing down the sidewalk with a tambourine when everybody else is. It means that you understand truth. And you walk in truth and you apply truth to your marriage and to your finances and to how you raise your children and where you're going to walk and how you're going to talk and how we're going to lay down our lives. And as we do that, we are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. The scripture says that before the foundations of the world, God purposed that you and I, as his children, our primary responsibility as a believer would be to be transformed. Otherwise, if he was just trying to get us saved into heaven, how many of you know he could have done that? It would be really cool, wouldn't it? You know, we would have very few people in here, but, you know, we would have an altar call and we would come down to the front and we would tell somebody the truth and they would receive the gospel, the good news, and they would give their life to the Lord. And upon the completion of the prayer, they would vanish and they would go to heaven. But how many of you know God doesn't do it that way? He redeems us. He relocates us. He delivers us out of the kingdom of darkness. And then he begins a project of transforming us into the image of his son. So the question then is this: why does he want us to look like Jesus? Why does he want us to look like Jesus? Well, two primary reasons that I can think of. Number one is Jesus was perfect. So he wants us to be perfect. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like God wanted you to be perfect? Anybody ever feel like that's a pretty heavy burden? Be perfect. I'm a PK, married to a PK. And now I have PKs. I remember growing up with so much pressure. You too. To live up to the standards, to keep all the rules, right? To keep the law. How many of you know there's only one man that ever kept the whole law? And that was Jesus Christ. Listen, let me everybody just take a deep breath and everybody let out. God knows you're not perfect. He doesn't want you to be like Jesus. He doesn't want you to be perfect so that you toe the line, so that you walk the line, so that you check every box, so that you make yourself acceptable to him. Oh, good. You read your Bible for an hour and a half today. You can come a little closer. That's how a lot of us live our life. It's not that he's called us to be holy. What is holy? He's called us to be holy. That's a tall order. He's called us to be holy as I am holy. Why does he want us to be holy? Because he wants us to be whole. He wants us to be whole. And the more I'm like Jesus, the less broken I am, the less bound I am. Okay? The more connected to the Father I am, the more I walk in the Spirit. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it. I don't say anything unless I first hear the Father say it. So his goal of perfection for our life is reaching for what Jesus had, which is holiness, that we would be whole, spirit, soul, and body. Why? Did he say that Jesus came to reveal him to us? What did Jesus come to reveal? He came to reveal the Father. His three primary objectives while he was on the earth was this: to destroy the works of the devil, to build his church, and to reveal the character of God. Because we don't see God with our physical eyes, but we did when Jesus was on the earth. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came to reveal the Father. He said, what earthly father, if you came up to him and asked for bread, would give you a stone? If he asked for fish, the earthly father would give him a serpent. Now, there may be some of them out there today, but that's not the norm. He said, if you as an earthly father know how to do these things to your children, how much more your heavenly Father? So why does the Father call us to holiness and perfection? It's because he wants the best for us. He's calling us out of the mess. He's calling us out of the bondage. He's calling us out of the addictions. He's calling us out of the oppression. He's calling us out of the brokenness. He's calling us out of the bitterness. He's calling us out of the prison of unforgiveness because he wants us to be fulfilled and to live a life more abundantly. It's not so that we can all stand up across here and say, I am in the army of God. Sir, yes, sir, I do it all right. It's so I can go and sit on his lap and he can bandage up my wounds and he can take care of me and he can reveal his love for me and he can make me more like Jesus. So I'm less broken. I'm less bound. I'm less in darkness and I'm free. That's why he wants me to look like Jesus. I didn't even know that till about 3 years ago. I've been going to church all my life. I thought I had to check all the boxes to make God happy with me, to feel worthy, to feel close. You ever done that? Have you ever done that? You feel like, you know, people tell me this. They'll see me in Walmart. Preacher, I'm going to get back in church just as soon as I get some things together in my life. But we do the same thing, don't we? We put on our church clothes and we come to church. But when it comes to our personal relationship with God, many times we feel like we got to check a bunch of boxes in successive days, right? Get all the dominoes set up just right. And then we feel good about ourselves. So we feel good enough that we can approach the throne of what? Grace? How many of you know we can never do enough to make ourselves worthy? Listen, I've got children and they're great children, but they're not perfect children. And when they make a mistake or they disobey me, I love them no less. I want to help them. Any requirement I put on their life is because I love them immensely. I don't want you to play in the road, Jillian. Oh, you just don't want me to have any fun. You just take all the fun out of life. No, it's because we live across the street from a diesel mechanic. And I don't want you to get squashed. You may not understand that today. But it's for your good. Do I have to go to church? Do I have to read the word? Do I have to pray in the Holy Ghost? Do I have to renew my mind? Do I have to fellowship up? Do I have to friend up and not be friends with the world? Do I have to listen to Christian music? God, you just want to take all the fun out of life. No, I love you. I've given you a path of life. I've set before you today blessing and cursing, life and death. Oh, that you would choose life. Choose it. It's up to you to choose it. Choose truth. Embrace truth. Walk away from the lie. So he wants me to be holy. I want you to think about that differently from now on in your life. That used to be such a burden to me. Be holy as I'm holy. I'm just like, fat chance of that. Right? I blew it again today. I'm even less worthy. I'm even less loved. Yeah, God puts up with me because of the blood of Jesus. You ever felt that way? I know he's got to forgive me, but he don't like me. Or he's not pleased with me. Do you follow what I'm saying? He's not pleased with me. But he wants me to be holy because he loves me. He wants me to be righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ so that I can be whole. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. I would say that's relocation. Eternal life and life more abundantly. That's the abundant life here on the earth. It's to walk in freedom. It's to walk in power. It's to walk in truth. It's to walk in the light as he is in the light. So he wants me to look like Jesus because he wants me to have all of that. And then secondly, he wants me to look like Jesus because Jesus ain't here no more. How you like that English? We are. His plan, his choice, his design. First base, second base, third base. My glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, as you go into all the world and preach the gospel. How will they believe unless someone preaches it to them? How will they know unless we're salt and we're light in this earth? And so the book, Paul writes in Corinthians, the second reason that we're supposed to look like Jesus is because as we become like him, the scripture says we are like mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord to my coworker, to the checker at Brookshire's, to the stranger on the side of the road. I show up and I'm glowing with the glory of God. What does that look like? It looks like love. It looks like compassion. It looks like truth. It looks like surrender. It looks like sacrifice. It looks like you're different than everybody else. So the scripture says that our job is to become like Jesus. And the more like Jesus we become, the better life we'll live, the more power will be resident in us, the more authority and dominion that we will walk in this earth. But at the same time, we're not just fighting to keep our nose above water. How many of you are tired of just fighting to keep your nose above water? Look, you done went around that mountain long enough. It's time to get free. It's time to go somewhere different. It's time to take what you have learned going around that mountain and dispense it into somebody else and tell them how they can be free. So we're to be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord in the earth. You ever had an old mirror? You ever had a mirror that you needed to clean? Like that right there? How many of you know a mirror that's all fogged up or it's got stuff all over it? How many of you know it doesn't give a very good reflection? And the more like Jesus we become, the better reflection of God we become in the earth. God wants us to change to be like Jesus so that when people walk up on us, they go, wow. How did you say those kind words back to your boss when he just cut you off at your knees? Man, that job belonged to you and they gave it to them. How are you whistling and singing praises to God? There's something weird about you. It's good to be weird to the world. It's good to be weird to the world. That means your mirror is getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. You're reflecting more and more the character of God, the nature of God. How many, we're moving into part of this series where we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you know we can't bear that stuff? We can grit our teeth and we can try to not be angry. We can grit our teeth and try to forgive. We can try to be in joy. But if we're not connected to Jesus, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. We can't live this Christian life. We can't get to our promised land unless we're connected to life. I'll never bear fruit unless I'm connected to God. And the more connected I am to him. The other night I had my cell phone plugged up beside my bed all night long. And I got the next morning, it was dead as a hammer. It was close. The prongs were there, but they weren't truly connected. Some of us are close, but we got to get truly connected. We got to plug into truth. We got to plug into Jesus. We got to plug into the power of God. We got to plug into the anointing that breaks the yoke in our life. We got to be willing to stand up to the enemy and say, enough is enough. I'm done thinking the way you want me to think. I'm done talking the way you want me to talk. I'm done prioritizing my life the way you want me to prioritize it. Because as long as I do, my mirror does not reflect the glory of God. As long as I do, I'm not getting freer. And it's time for us to stand up against the forces of darkness and say, enough is enough. You know, power, authority, and dominion was taken from our enemy. You know that. And it was given to who? It's given to us. It was given to us. But now Satan and all of his imps in hell are what we call lawbreakers. Everybody say lawbreakers. Do you remember when our army went into Iraq and they ousted Saddam Hussein from power and they defeated the Iraqi army and we raised the American flag and set those people free? Just like Jesus defeated the devil, planted his flag, and set his people free. But how many of you know that it wasn't long until some of the remnants of that army began to rise up in different places? And even though they weren't in power anymore, they tried to stake their claim. And they tried to do damage. And they tried to take back territory. See, we have an enemy that even though he doesn't have legal right, he will try to do damage and he will try to take territory in our lives and in our marriage and in our children and in our future. And he's breaking the law, but you know what? He don't care. He's fine with that. But guess what? You and I wear a badge that says Jesus. It says the kingdom of God. And Jesus said this. He said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he says, I'm delegating it to you. I'm leaving it with you. Now you have a responsibility to exercise it, to walk in it. He said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If you're waiting on Pastor Jerry to bind it or loose it in your life, guess what? It's not his responsibility to bind and loose in your life. It's yours. We have the power and the dominion over the enemy. The Bible says that he will soon crush Satan under our feet. How many of you know that the devil is no match for God? You remember when the devil showed up himself and he tried to get Jesus to think wrong, right? He challenged the teacher. How much more is he going to challenge the student? That's what Jesus said. And he said, turn these stones into bread. You think Jesus was thinking about turning stones into bread before that moment? No. He may have been hungry, but the devil knew his weakness. And he came and offered a thought that ran contrary to the truth. And he said, why don't you think about this? And how many of you know if he would have received that thought and he would have ran with that thought, how many of you know it would have taken him down a path of death? But he said, no, it is written. He had the word of God beating in his, on the inside of him. And then the devil took him up and what was the order? He did three things. So he said, stones be made bread. Then it was, I'll give you all of the world. And what was the other one? Huh? We all need to read it again. Okay. Point is this. 1, 2, 3. The third time, Jesus had quoted the word. He said, this is the truth. This is what God says. The third time, he said this. He said, get behind me, Satan. Get out of here. Some of us need to talk to our enemy. And we need to remind him of our dominion and of our authority. And we need to tell him to get out. Listen, you think, well, I can't do that. You know, I failed. The blood. It's called the blood. It's the blood. It's Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. It's the righteousness of God that we are clothed in robes of righteousness. And we can address our... See, when I fail... Would God put any expectations on his children without enabling us to walk them out? Peter said, how many times do I have to forgive in a day? And he was like, you know, I've done it a few times. And Jesus said, 70 times 7. You know, mathematician, right? Peter's like, what's that like? 490 times? And he's like, in a day. Right? That's how many times that you've got to forgive. If God's expectation is that we walk in that kind of forgiveness, don't you know that he walks exceedingly abundantly above that? So here's how this works. When I fail, when I mess it up, when I'm weak, here's what we do. We don't run from God to try to get it together. We run to the throne of grace. And when the enemy's screaming, you messed it up, you're no good. When my children mess up, they're no less a Willis than they were before they messed it up. They're still a Willis. And I'm no less a child of God when I make a mistake than when before I made a mistake. But I'm going to run to the throne of grace and find mercy. How many of you are thankful for mercy? There is mercy and grace to help in my time of need. And guess what? I get forgiven. I'm free. And I walk back to the devil, the same devil that offered me that temptation or that thought or whatever he did. And I tell him, now get out of here. And he goes, oh, but you remember you messed up. And I say, yeah, but I got it right. I'm under the blood. And he doesn't have to respond to us. He's responding to the badge that we wear that says, I'm an ambassador of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's not Pastor Jerry or Pastor Elaine or Pastor Cricket that has the power. It's the sons and daughters of God who have the power resident on the inside of them. How many know you're empowered? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Everybody say, he dwells in me. P- Put your hands on your chest right there and say, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. He dwells in me. He dwells in me. He dwells in me. There is a power in you today to move you out of bondage into freedom. I didn't even get anywhere near what was in this notebook up here this morning. That's okay. We want to go where God's going, right? Remember God told Moses, he said, I'm fed up with these people. He said, if y'all want to go on into the promised land, y'all go ahead and go, but I'm not going with you. And Moses was smart enough to say, if you're not going, I'd rather just stay right here in the wilderness with you. How many know it's better to follow God? But there is a power in you to break every chain. There's a power in you to heal you of your brokenness and your bruising. There's a power in you to enable you to rise above bitterness and to enter into a place of forgiveness so that you can come out of the prison of unforgiveness. There's a power in you called the Holy Spirit that enables you to partner with Him, to have faith to see your circumstances change. But we got to get a hold of the truth and we got to stand, and having done all to stand. Now, the scripture says to take every thought captive. Every thought that we don't take captive will take us captive. Every thought that we don't take captive will take us captive. If we begin to give place to the enemy, turn those stones into bread. Ooh, I could see two or three loaves right there. We begin to think that, you know, that person really did me wrong. That's right. I'm justified in feeling angry at them. Guess what happens? I didn't take that thing captive. I didn't resist the devil. I didn't submit to God. So the devil didn't have to flee. He begins to build a stronghold in my life of bitterness and unforgiveness and anger towards a person. And then it begins to poison my life. And then it begins to poison my household. And then before I know it, I'm in a big old mess because I didn't take that thought captive, just like Jesus told me to do. Some of us are held captive by some things today that we have not taken captive. And I believe that there's an anointing here. I'm going to ask Don to join me up here. And Miss Vashta, we're going to pray and we're going to believe with you today as we're going to be dismissed. But if you know that there's areas of your life that maybe you've been delivered at times, but you have not become free. You're not walking in freedom. You keep falling back into that way of thinking, that way of doing, that way of acting, that way of walking and talking, and you want to be free, then I want you to come down this morning because we're going to break the ties of the enemy, and we're going to believe, God, that there's a fresh anointing coming up on your life so that you can walk out of here and you can begin to partner with the Holy Spirit to renew your mind and to walk in truth so that the truth can make you free. And say bye-bye to this mountain that you've been walking around forever. How many of you ready to say bye to some mountain in your life? So everybody close your eyes real quick. I'm going to pray a prayer over you. And I at the end of this prayer, if you want us as your leaders to agree with you today to see God bring breakthrough in your life as you begin a journey towards complete freedom, not just a deliverance, not just a quick fix, but you say, I'm committed to destroying the works of the enemy in my life. I'm committed to seeing the kingdom of God established in my life, in that area of my life. I'm done playing games. I'm ready to see it turn. If you need that kind of prayer this morning, I want you to come to the front as we dismiss everybody else. But just lift your hands right now, right there where you're at, if you want to receive from God a fresh anointing in your life. Father, I just pray this morning in the mighty name of Jesus that there would be an outpouring of your Spirit in the name of Jesus. God, you see every hand lifted in this place. God, every person that says, this is more than I can handle. This is bigger than me, but it's not bigger than my Father. And I reach out to my Abba Father this morning. And I reach out for His power. And I reach out for His presence. And I reach out for His hand to come and intervene in my life. God, open our eyes. Enlighten our hearts. God, pull the scales off of our eyes, God. Cause our hearts to be a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. God, let us be willing to be open to the Spirit of God so that God can do in us what needs to be done to set us free. We want to be a free people, not a relocated people. We want to be a free people. We want to be a free people that walk in the power of God, that walk in the truth of God, that walk in the anointing of God. Father, we thank you for it this morning. 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 Listen, look at me. The Holy Spirit, that's what I just felt like. The Holy Spirit it's like he's got his fingers in a crevice. And I just feel like what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do is he's wanting to pull a thing back in your life. He's wanting to bring revelation, and he's wanting to bring anointing, and he's wanting to dispense in you the spirit of perseverance so that you can break out and break free and walk in a different way. How many of you believe that he wants to do that? So just tell the Holy Spirit right there. Just tell the Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Have your way in me. Have your way in me. Father, we thank you for your truth that sets us free. Father, we thank you for the Word of God that's a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path in the mighty name of Jesus. We choose you. We choose truth. We choose your way. We choose your Word because it will never pass away. In Jesus' mighty name.